Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 572, recording live on September 11th, 2024. Sorry about the auto 9-11s. I'm your lead host in training, Tony.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Adriel.
The order's out of whack. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mike.
Yep.
I'm new.
No, but you've been on the show before. You've been here before.
Mike has been on the show for longer than me, so I think he's out. All right, let's go to what we did in Guns. We'll start off with Dustin.
Oh, I actually did some things in Guns in the last week, or 2 weeks, I guess, because I wasn't on last week. I tried really hard. Had friends coming from Germany. All right, where is, I have my list here. Okay, there. So did a whole bunch of reloading 9mm, which was good because we shot a lot of 9mm. Just a quick note for anybody that does any reloading into, you know, a big case feeder hopper thing. When you dump like 400 fresh, like nice polished cases into that case feeder, put them into the case feeder and not next to the case feeder, you know, 5 feet in the air, because that just creates a giant horrible mess. ask me how I know. Did some more dry fire practice with myself and with my guests. I had two guests visiting me from Germany. And figured it was probably prudent the day before we went to shoot guns to make sure that they were comfortable handling all the ones that we were going to take. So spent a couple hours doing that, just kind of in a nice, safe environment where there's no ammo around, no banging, you know, booming going on. Anyway, packed and did all the prep for the range trip. Another note for anybody going to the range, check that range is going to be open maybe the night before. Thankfully I checked the day of, right before we left, and discovered it was closed for archery that day. That would have been a long 2 hour drive there and back to not shoot. But we rescheduled and we shot the next day. We had an absolutely fantastic time. I took, like I said, those two friends from Germany over. I had another friend from Washington come up and strangely experience more freedom than he has down there right now. and we all, we shot through so much ammo. We had an absolute blast, pardon the pun. I got my two German friends hooked. One of them, he has some military experience. He was already into guns. It was really his partner that he was trying to, like, kind of encourage into it. Turns out, so his partner... at some point, like at the rate he's already shooting, he's probably going to be like the next Olympic medalist meme. He had super steady hands and no bad habits. He was unbelievable shooting guns. And success getting him hooked. They're already exploring ranges, gun licenses, the whole nine yards. So they're hopefully by this time next year going to be, you know, shooting together, because couples that shoot together, as we've learned, shoot lots.
That's awesome.
And have fun. Yeah, it was really great. It was wild though. Wasn't expecting it, but yeah, he does electronics. He's got incredibly steady hands, and once he figured out how to just shoot them, it was wild. I've never seen somebody who'd never touched a gun before shoot that accurately that quickly. Had some competitions with my roommate. Red dots versus open sights, just not fair. On the dueling tree, I was just kind of like waiting for him. Cleaned 20 guns on the weekend. That was also fun. And yeah, testing full capacity magazines. That was fun and expensive up here, but had a couple of mags that needed to be tested. Yes, I have the business license that lets me do that. I wasn't breaking the law. We only did that a little bit though, because it 30 rounds goes real fast and it's expensive. And then other than that, just a little bit more prep for my MP meeting that I have on Friday. And that's what I did in guns.
Sounds awesome. 30 round mags. I'll have my experience spoken later. We'll go to Kyle next.
Okay. Not much again this week, but I did get a Brownells order in. So I had ordered a anti-rotation pin set up for my PCC. And so they just came in today, and it's kind of interesting setup. So
Strike Industry, let's go.
No, what are these?
Are they not? They're the same design.
AWP.
Hmm. Well,
so it's a similar for the Strike. The Strikes actually weren't in stock when I was looking, but this kind of cams down. I was kind of concerned on how well it was going to go, but it's actually very difficult to actually get on there. So yeah, I have faith it will hold once I get it onto the PCC, and I will not have pin issues. I wanted to go with a design that didn't require me to Loctite a screw in.
Have screws, yeah.
Yeah,
that's my concern too.
Because I lost one, and that's why I have tape on it right now. And I also decided, I was searching through there and looking at some real Avid stuff, and they had a Glock mag tool. So I figured I'd try it out. And actually works pretty good for getting the factory base pads off of Glock. So it's got, so you stick it in there, pry it down, and it breaks it free of those annoying tabs on the bottom of the mag.
And then you the listeners, it is the real Avid brand. I've been trying to search for them in Canada for a while. No one have them in stock.
Brownells. Use our link.
Well,
and Brownells will ship to Canada.
Shipping is a cost.
I ordered from them all the time. They ship to Canada.
I know that. They're expensive though.
But yeah, and pop it off. You don't lose your base plate and spring doesn't go. So my biggest thing is
you don't get marks on it from using vice grips like I did last weekend.
Just like it still takes a little bit of pressure. This one, this base pad hadn't actually been off before. So when I was playing with it, I did have to use the vice grips once, but after that it wore them enough that now every time it just pops free. Mm-hmm. So I like it. I think it's worth it. And yeah, I like the real Avid tools. They put a lot of thought and make them pretty robust.
How much did that cost?
I can't remember. It wasn't much. I think maybe like $15 US.
Yeah, 10, 15 bucks. Their bench block is good too. I like that one too. Yeah.
I want to get their full armors kit, bench vice, all that stuff. Cause looking at their stuff, like it's good quality stuff. I've handled quite a bit of their smaller kits. Not so. And they have a full like sheepfoots kit for pretty much any barrel nut out there. So yeah. I'm close, very close. I'm probably going to go down on Saturday and buy a new pistol. I'll have to wait 7 days before I can pick it up, but I think I'm going to go actually buy my my SIG, new carry pistol.
A SIG?
You get the
P365?
Yeah, the 365 X Macro Comp.
Ooh, so long name.
I was looking at some on Gunbroker, and it's interesting because you can't snipe on Gunbroker. They have like a 5 minute timer, so it has to wait 15 minute timer. So no bids for 15 minutes. So it's interesting, but they're going for market value. So instead of dealing with that, might as well just go down to the store and support local. And my souvenir from Rocky Mountain 3 Gun finally came out. Pulled the chunk of jacket out of my hand there this morning. So I'm pretty happy that came out. No longer.
How much did it cost?
I pulled it out. It would have cost me it would have cost me $2,000. That's why I waited a month, and hey, it's finally out.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is not a medical podcast. Please do not take this as medical advice. Thank you.
I did not cut open my hand and do surgery on myself. It was a hole. I grabbed some tweezers and gently pulled it out.
That sounds like a medical procedure to me.
It's pulling out a sliver.
Sounds like a medical procedure to me.
I support your medical procedures, Kyle. I would have DIY'd even if it was free.
My health insurance is like $5,000 deductible, so I'm responsible for 100% up to $5,000. I was not gonna go pay $2,000 to get my hand cut open and stitched to remove a little piece of jacket. So,
yeah.
Did you at least use electrical tape and paper towel as a Band-Aid?
Yesterday when it was almost out, I put a Band-Aid and of course back of the hand so it won't stick. So yes, I used the electrician's Band-Aid with electrical tape around it.
at least proper medical procedures were used, so that's okay.
Proper redneck medical procedure were used, maybe.
Oh, they teach you that in trade school.
I ain't got gangrene once.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay. Well, that is it for me for this week. So let's go, Adriel. How'd your week go?
I did lots. I did that Battle of Alberta match. That was okay. So most years we do it in June, and for the last couple, it's been hot, like 34. It's too hot to do setup in the sun and all that kind of stuff in June. So we're like, hey, this year. And the MD had some personal things happening that he needed to attend to, babies and that kind of thing. So he wanted like a later one, September. Perfect. Won't be as hot. No, it was hot. It was 30 degrees, 31 and 32 and doing setup. And then immediately the next day was 18, which would have been great to shoot in. But yeah, it was hot.
It's finally really cooling good match. Down, Alberta. Like what's this that? Week, it's finally cooling down. It's yep. like in the yep, mid-tens now, finally.
Yeah. Really, really good competition. Stiff competition from the other shooters, too. Normally, like a couple of people will like have a couple of train wreck stages and, you know, cut them out of the running, but everyone shot really, really well, including the MD, and the, yeah, match director MD. And he beat me this time. It's funny. Cause if you look at my trophy wall up here, it's first, second. Whenever I've got the second, he's got the first. Whenever I got the first, he's got the second. Same thing this year. So
that's good. You two are pushing the envelopes.
Yeah, yeah, we're a competition with each other and good buddies. It's all good fun. But yeah, he not only did he beat me while being match director. That's a feat by itself because he's got to do running around and getting up early and thinking about all the stages and doing all prep and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was he had a solid match. In terms of things I have to do to you know pick up my game, I think especially on day one. I was rehearsing the stage plans and I didn't have them fully like committed to memory confidently enough to run at 100% speed. So I ran slower for the first day, especially on complicated stages. And I dialed it back too much. I went too way too conservative. And what ended up happening is like I knew I was holding myself back. Day two, I'm like, oh my God, I'm losing so bad. I'm going to go faster. I'm going to commit it to memory and go faster. And my day two speeds were way better. I got more, better rankings, more stage wins, but not enough because day one I got left behind. Oh, there was one stage too where I didn't see like a hack that that was in there that one of the other shooters noticed. Dustin noticed one of the ways, interesting ways to shoot that stage, and he shot it. I'm like, oh my God, I want to reshoot. But yeah,
you guys should start selling mulligans.
Mulligans? Oh, I would have taken a mulligan on that one for sure. Yeah, that one stage, I got like 6th overall, which is like awful for when you look at all the other stages that I did. Yeah, but anyways, the match was great. In terms of failures, I kind of just clocked them as I went along. On the A5, I had one fail to eject. Everyone does that every once in a while with the ghost load. All you have to do is hit the charging handle and away you go. And then with the Raven, I actually had a mag over insertion, and that was on the stage that hack was discovered. So with an open bolt, I rammed the magazine in and I managed to over insert it. So that wasn't a good idea. Maybe I should have had the bolt closed because I can insert the mag with the bolt closed. So I think I'm going to do that in the future rather than opening it up when I don't have to. The Romeo 5X on it, liked it. I made real quick work of the long range stages. Not to say that that's the red dot. That's primarily like the rifle's a good accurate platform, and I made some good stable shooting positions. But the red dot certainly didn't get in the way. I liked not having to turn it on, turn it off, adjust it, none of that stuff. I just left it, and I'm going to continue to leave it. I'm not going to adjust it. I'm just going to take it out, and when it's time to shoot, I just shoot and don't have to think about it too much. I did really well on the, I typically do pretty well on the long range stages. I did well this time. We had some targets out to, right around 300, and I was shooting those just standing unsupported, just wailed away at those and kind of moved on. We raised, the final numbers aren't in yet, but I believe we raised $15,000 for charity with this match, which is pretty good. I think that's pretty nice. good for like an annual three-gun match.
15K, that's great. You guys did awesome.
Yeah, yeah. What else? Oh, we had a really good prize table, too. The prize table coordinators really put some great work in. I was like really far towards the end, and like there were 65 shooters, and I think I was picked like, I don't know, let's say like 30, 40, 50, somewhere in there, somewhere in the bottom half. And I still pulled off like $150 worth of stuff, like a Magpul RLS sling, a couple of really nice hats, a really nice water bottle, like a really nice water bottle, not just like a, you know, $5 thing kind of a thing. I got, well, SBI gave coupons to all the match staff for 40% off. So now I have an excuse to buy more stuff from them.
You keep winning SBI freaking coupons.
Well, it helps that he shoots three gun with us.
I know Tristan is heavily involved, which is great to know that the person behind SBI is a shooter himself, and he would appreciate a good shooter. And he is literally the number zero sponsor shooter of the company, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, so we had a volunteer shootout. So like head-to-head shootout on the Friday, and he beat me by a hair. It was like, that was the gold silver kind of
whatever
stage, or I don't know, you can't really call it stage, but we have like two falling plates that fall on top of each other to tell who won. And he knocked down his just as I was moving to that target to start shooting it. So it came really right down to the wire, which is nice. I like when shootouts are exciting like that. So it was it was really good. So that was the match. I am buying lots of 5.56 stripper clips. So Marstar has a sale on them, and I was like, I need, I don't know, 50, 100, something like that. And I like to have all my 223, 5.56 on stripper clips, because when I go to a match, I have a strip Lula, so I take my 10-round mag, I take my 10-round stripper clip, put it in there, zip, reloaded, right? Super quick. And it makes it easy to count ammo as I'm putting in. No, like, loose ammo for the 223. 10-round stripper clips, really easy to count and figure out how much I'm bringing. So I wanted more of them. Marstar, like, they had a deal on 50, or they have even better deal on 500. So I was like, I went on the Signal group for three-gun buy and sell. And I'm like, hey, guys, who wants to go in on a deal for this? And I got enough people saying yes that I just bought the 500. So we'll get those stripper clips to those guys as they...
Metal ones or plastics?
They're metal. The plastic ones are better, but this is what
they're hard to find.
Yeah, I can't find the plastic ones right now. They have them in the U.S. If I was in the U.S., I'd just buy the thermaled ones new. But in Canada, I didn't find very many of those. And the Marstar price was really good. Like, I'm well under a buck each. So that's pretty
good. That's considered good?
Yep.
I don't remember them being that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm misremembering. Anyway.
Again, in the U.S., there's a couple of eBay sellers that you can buy like hundreds of them for less than a buck each. But then the shipping is like just kills to get them up here.
Do they not like pop up at like gun shows and stuff? Like all my stripper clips I've got from like out of buckets at gun shows for like, yeah, have like 20 of them for $1. They're in the way. Like,
I feel like you might not find that for 5.56 anymore. You might find that still for 7.62.
Nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. I guess there was a while where there was all that like 5.56 ammo that was coming in on stripper clips. Like there was a lot of it. I guess it's several years ago now. I'm getting old, but yeah, never mind.
And 7.62 by 39. Czech stuff was all that gray box stuff was on stripper clips. So
yeah,
I picked up all my plastic stuff after RCMP were done at the range.
They haven't been leaving them at the ranges though.
Oh, they throw out the loaders too, like the guides. They just toss those out too. Oh, wow. So
yeah, no, the RCMP haven't been using that stuff at our range. They've been using boxed new stuff. Like new, what was it? Like it was PMC, but like frangible bullets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those don't come on stripper clips, and they don't load them on stripper clips. They just load them direct. So
no still free such brass though.
Mm-hmm. I have enough 223 brass though. So I'm buying lots of those, or just bought them rather 10 minutes ago. A listener, a buddy of mine at the three-gun match tipped me off to this Aguila. They have an ounce and a quarter target load that's 1,400 FPS. Like, that's some spicy 12 gauge. And then I found locally they had them. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to buy all of those. Someone else must have known about it.
They're all gone.
They're all gone, yeah. So, no such. Not that I could use those at my next three-gun match will be in Peace River. But I also got a box of number four. Got a buddy of mine to grab me a couple boxes of number four from there to just in case I get a spinner or something. Put a little bit more lead on target. I've been resorting my ammo, and I've discovered I need to do some reloading for my 6.5s, my Kirkhano and Swede. Those both need to be reloaded. I got lots of brass and not so much ammo, so I have to make those two problems go away. And at my workshop, I've got the solution for that. So I'm going to go do some reloading for those, I don't know, over the next couple of days here, I guess. This weekend coming up, so Kelly's not on the show because she is getting ready to go to Alberta. She's going to be here tomorrow. So I'm going to go hit a dinner with her tomorrow. And then we're going to do she's doing a maple seed on Saturday. I've got a PAL course, same place, but I'll be busy doing the PAL course. And then Sunday, there's a ladies maple seed that I'll be attending as well with Kelly on Sunday there. And then I was just looking, I was thinking like, geez, have I been doing gun stuff every weekend since the spring? Almost. From April till October. I've been doing gun stuff for 21 of 23 weekends, some of them involving family. Wow. And some of them not. Some of them like three gun or PAL or maple seed or whatever. So pretty much every weekend, either RPAL, PAL, maple seed, three gun, range visits, or hunting. So busy. That's coming to an end here though. Come October, come November for sure, because that's hunting season. I guess that's the same thing, isn't it? That's also covered. Yeah. That's also good stuff. And then I don't have it in the list here, but I just got this Wheeler digital torque screwdriver, and it won't work. I'm putting this battery in, and it just won't work. So I don't know if it's just busted. Maybe I should try the reset. I'll try the reset. Anywho, that's everything I did. Tony, what about you?
Sorry, I was just updating the list. So, if you heard last week's episode, you would have known that somehow I was in Winnipeg. Kyle mentioned that I was trying to make money by taking delayed flights. That wasn't quite true, but I was stuck in Thunder Bay for, in the end, more than 48 hours, which is, nearly 48 hours, which is unfortunate. Anyway. So long story short, I mentioned that I had a vacation in Winnipeg. Kelly asked, why am I in Thunder Bay? So my friend who lives in Toronto, Mr. Shi, Chinese last name, so it's a male, not a female. Anyway, who lives in Toronto, Oakville to be specific, is moving to Thunder Bay to study at University of Lakehead. Who I mentioned as the future Canadian gun owner. So I came to Toronto to visit actually the easternmost spot in North America I've ever been to. Previously was for China. I never flew to the east before. So I went with him to visit a few spots, HMCS Haida, for example. Then we drove down to meet my other friend, Mr. Gao, in Detroit, and shot some guns, which is very exciting. So he was a recent firearm owner. He just acquired firearms like, I want to say summer of this year, under some of them under my recommendation, some of them not. So I shot his entire collection, including a P320 compact, which will become his carry gun when he becomes comfortable enough with it. Unfortunately, I couldn't carry it when I'm in Michigan because they require a permit to carry, and I'm not technically illegal possession of that gun.
Do you know, are you going to be going back there at any point? I just wonder if they recognize the New Hampshire carry permit.
I'm not sure. No, I probably won't be going back anytime soon. Yeah, hopefully, unless one of his gun broke.
Well, you said something there that, Pete, you weren't down there on a visa, right?
No.
No, so you were in legal possession of a gun. You just can't carry it.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, no. Because I believe you need a permit to buy anything, any pistol in Michigan anyway.
No, you're a Canadian. You're exempt. You're exempt from some of those laws.
From possession, you're talking buying.
Oh, purchasing, yeah.
I looked it up roughly, but technically, I don't think I can borrow one either.
Yep.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Federally, with the U.S., if you're in the country not on a visa, you are legally allowed to possess firearms or ammunition. If, like my situation, if you are down on a visa, you are not unless you have like a hunting license, which is then an exemption.
That's interesting, but I wasn't going to risk it. So I shot his P320 and my friend from Canada asked me to pick up his Vortex order from Profit River. So I brought it down and it's matching pattern. It's a Vortex 3 MOA Defender ST. So it's on a Delta Point Pearl footprint. It actually mounts on the pistol perfectly. So we shot it with the optics the first time. I shot his 1911. It's a Springfield Garrison 5-inch government gun, 9mm. I don't want to confuse him with all the ammo. So I thought, okay, stock one kind of ammo. So just stock 9mm and shoot everything in that. And then I shot his Desert Eagle .44. I watched that meme, so Dustin won't be happy about it. But it's not the Desert Eagle .50. It had acceptable recoil, in my opinion. It did have a high chance of out of battery when resetting, just because I think everyone is suffering limp wristing in a degree. I think I only had that issue once in comparison to my friends who like have them once per magazine, but they haven't been shooting for that long, so I wouldn't blame them on that. Also, a fail from the Brownells magazine, 1911 magazine. For some reason, the first few rounds would have nosedive. So if you're in the States, you have Brownell 1911 magazines, 9mm, you might want to watch out for that. And the Metalform magazine and the OEM magazine worked just fine. So something to note of. Also shot the first AR-15 in my life. It was a PSA. I recommended to him because he doesn't have an idea what rifle he wanted. So I was like, buy this. It's cheap.
Buy the crappiest one.
They're going to fix it. Unconditional warranty. So, I don't know. You have messed it up. Send it back. And it doesn't really have anything wrong with it. It has Magpul furniture. Very nice. Slightly improved trigger. So, it's like the model slightly above the most basic one. Anyway, he is happy enough with it. He doesn't want it. He wanted an AK. I said no. And then he tried out an AK. He doesn't want it anymore. So I guess it's a good choice in the end. I also visited a museum over there in Bay City. Even bigger guns, what I did in guns, right? The USS Edson without the I, so E-D-S-O-N. And somehow the model of the ship is called Three Guns No Waiting, which I thought is very funny. And last two things I did in the States was sending things and buying things. So you notice the belts that I'll get to in a second. So I send my Lee Precision stuff back to the factory because that's how I reduce shipping cost, I guess, through the USPS with their flat rate box, $10. You get a box that's yay big. But I think the legend I've heard years ago saying USPS considered lost might have came true. The box was sent out on the 31st, and the last track movement of it was on the 4th. So I think they might have managed to lost it. It's insured, so worst case scenario, I'll get cash back. So that's something. And the last thing I want to talk about is Magpul belts, because for some reason, they aren't very available in Canada. I guess you don't need a gun belt here for carrying, but still, it's very hard for me to find a belt. Why? Because I'm fat and I put a lot of stress on belts, and you'll see after not too long all the buckles, all the holes are starting to stretch. So what I've moved on to after I started my shooting career was 5.11 belts, right? They're more of a fabric design, but they're very sturdy and pretty strong. And I was like, okay, I need something a little bit more formal. What do I do? MagPul, have you covered? So it's a proper leather belt made in USA, actually specifically made in Texas for some reason. I guess they are a Texas company overall. And they come with very fun little writings inside, which I'll show on Discord. Forgot to mention, all the shooting footages that I've captured are also available exclusively on Discord. So yeah, they have a series of like four different styles of leather belts you can get. And they're very nice. And apparently the inside layer is a reinforced polymer, as you know, MagPul. Ta-da! Is good at playing with polymer and plastic stuff, and that supposedly will reinforce the belt so it won't stretch over time. Time will tell. I'll report back if it does or doesn't, but looks kind of fancy, very rigid. I like my pants to be on me instead of the new, I don't know, hip trend of hanging them down low. And they also have a style that's just purely polymer, so still looks pretty cool. And this one specifically has a Gatling gun on the back of a donkey.
Okay,
I saw it. I was pretty funny. I think one of them is like the Mexican kind of skeleton shooting Glocks, like dual wielded. It's a lot of. I have to appreciate the MagPul humor. Like for example, serving on a 30 round magazine. That's also one of the options. So things like that. Back to the Thunder Bay thing, because I'm technically entitled to compensation, but my friend, not these friends, but my other friend who went to Vegas and got delayed, he said the whole claim process is going to be very difficult. So we'll see. I would not advise it as a mean of making money, because you're wasting a lot of time. On the very last day, I was supposed to depart at 5 a.m. So I'll arrive in Calgary at 8 a.m. and start a work day. When I was crossing the safety check, the TSA, when my phone was in the scanner, I'm assuming, because that's when I'm taking all the stuff out. So after I passed it, I received a message on my phone that's like from a few minutes ago that tells me that my flight that's supposed to depart from 5:30 a.m. is delayed to 5:30 p.m. So I had to run out of the security area, go downstairs back to where WestJet's at, and go through the whole process. I don't have a car back to the hotel. I've checked out of the hotel. So what do? I stay at the airport with my work laptop working. For the 12 hours, that was a struggle. I woke up like 2 in the morning that day to like go to the airport at 3. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe don't fly with WestJet. Hopefully Kelly won't see this problem. Knock on wood.
They both suck.
Yeah, it's not Canada. Air Canada isn't great. When I fly to Toronto for some reason, just delayed, got delayed for 2 hours.
Boy, Air Canada's so much worse.
Yeah, my friends got delayed for another like 2 days. It was good that they had here to stay, because they're like, by the way, we're gonna be here for 2 extra days.
It's like, if it's not a hotel, it doesn't matter, right? Just like, yeah, I'll be sleeping on the ground for 2 extra days. It's not as bad. I'm not gonna wake up my friend who was going to class that same day at 3 freaking a.m. to come and pick me up. So that's that. Let's hear from Mike.
Well, first, I got a follow-up on Dustin's question for you. And for the next time you go visit your friend in Michigan, the New Hampshire, they do recognize New Hampshire's non-resident permit.
Oh, that's $100 to carry a concealed weapon in the state.
And you just send it in the mail, they send it back to you. Yeah.
Is it because New Hampshire is the only place that offers a non-resident carry?
Oh, no. Every state pretty much offers a non-resident, but New Hampshire is like the best one for Canadians to get.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't require a course. You just like send them money and your PAL like info, and they're like, oh, you've got a Canadian firearms license. Here's your New Hampshire concealed carry permit, recognized in like 30 U.S. states.
Yeah. I think the other one that will do
is Virginia, but you have to go and get fingerprinted for that one.
Yeah.
I should have asked before that, but the only thing I did when I was not with the friend was I walked from his apartment to the car and then back. It a bit. Well, I know that's a lie. I did go to a pharmacy. So I guess I could have carried for that. I was like, I know.
Yeah. If you're in Detroit, is it really like Fallout?
No, it wasn't in the middle of Detroit, so it wasn't that bad. Yeah, it was the U.S. I haven't visited the States in a while, and last time I visited, I was significantly younger, I want to say. It's everything the media tells you, but more American, like great lawns in the front, U.S. flags.
Oh, man. Flags.
I don't know, it refreshed my memory of America. Also, plastic straws, plastic cups, plastic everything.
Yeah. I come back with a handful of those from Washington.
10 out of 10.
I make a point to come back with a bunch of plastic straws.
I'm surprised because that was ruled unconstitutional in Canada, but Alberta hasn't went back to it.
Well, everyone's stocked up on the paper ones, so they're like, we're not going to throw these out.
That's not even my biggest problem with it. My problem is with wooden forks that doesn't work. So I have to grab two now. Is that really, am I really saving the environment?
What I loved was the big plastic cup that you're given, but you can't have a plastic straw.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
How are turtles going to do cocaine if they don't have plastic straws?
Well, exactly.
It's okay. India and China are going to make sure the turtles have all of the straws and bags they need. So they'll be fine.
I just don't want to be depriving wildlife of their needs.
I don't want to be deprived of more magnificent cheap Chinese guns. So we gotta solve that problem.
Hi, ya, no Chinese gun. The show I touched the Springfield and much better than Norinco.
No, this is the best 1911 I've ever owned. I've owned four from like all across the spectrum. My $300 drunk 3 a.m. purchase 1911 is the best one, hands down.
Like, I was playing with Dave's Norinco 1911 for, like, half the day because, no, I have a 1911 in my hand. Like, using the front serrations, my hand got red and, like, skins are peeling off in, like, 3 hours. So, no. Bad. Chinese people not compatible with Chinese guns. Not designed for Chinese people. Yeah. Bad.
On that note, Mike, what did you do in guns?
I didn't really do anything too exciting. I got on a plane with WestJet. I made it where I was supposed to go, and then I went to DACOM.
Wow, that is already like a success.
Yeah, you're not delayed by 48 hours, so you missed the whole show.
No. And when you have lounge access, life is good.
Oh, you got in your lounge access.
It the stories are true.
There's places to sit.
You can sit down. There's food.
They're comfortable seats.
It's not overpriced cheap food.
What does lounge access cost? I realize this is a gun show, but let's talk travel. What is, like, is it worth it?
See, mine's included when you reach a certain status, but I think it's about $60 or $90 an hour, depending on the lounge.
High society over
here. Never even thought of paying for an hour. Got it on status.
A lot
before.
Of them have an hourly rate. I know Plaza Premium, they do an hourly rate.
Hourly.
But the WestJet Lounge in Calgary is awesome.
Never been there. Probably never will.
Just one time, you got to go for the fancy seats up front and just waltz right in.
Nah, you got to think about the 9mm round per hour. That's a high count.
Oh, it's worth it. Totally worth it. So I shoot 22. But yeah, we ended up going to TACOM this year. I went with Ballistically Speaking. So we got some video coverage. Some of your viewers may have seen it. Some might not have seen it. They're on the Ballistically Speaking YouTube channel. That was our first attempt at making videos and my first time editing since high school. So I'm aware of one video where the sound cut out 30 seconds in. But yeah, the show, I will say, like, physically, it was smaller this year. But based on what was all there and all the new things, I still didn't see everything, and I was there for 2.5-3 days and there before the show even opened.
I really want to go next year.
It's worth it. I've always had a good time in Taco.
How was, sorry, this is your, what you did in Guns. We can ask you more questions. I've got so many questions about this.
That's pretty much, I went to TACOM. It's, anything gun related was TACOM.
Fair. Did you spy anything that you are going to put on the Christmas list?
I spied so many things. Well, we had 3 new semi-autos non-restricted get shown off.
Yeah, the Crypto and...
Save them for the main topic.
Okay, yeah. You're
we'll do that for the main topic.
Yeah, never mind.
All right, we're going to upcoming events since Adriel will be doing Maple Seed, so we'll get to Kyle to do the Striga matches.
Okay, so weekend of September 28th, 29th is the MP3G team match up in Peace River. And then going into October, October 5th, Chaz is having a 3-gun match. October 19th, Sherwood Park, and I might as well just round out the year. On November 2nd, Sherwood Park again, and then on November 9th is Chaz. And that pretty much rounds out the year for 3-gun.
There's another one they're doing at Guelph. I want to say September 21st. I want to say it's on the 21st, but check practice score or Canadian Gun Nuts for that one. I didn't add that one in yet.
Okay, cool.
Just saw it recently.
Yeah, Alberta gets cold real fast, from real hot to real cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chaz are those weird people that they'll shoot right into the minus 30 December degree weather. Yeah.
Yeah, minus 30 in December. We'll do that. For Maple Seed, it's coming up. What are we, September 11th today? This weekend, as mentioned before, Sherwood Park, we've got Saturday, Sunday. The Saturday's sold out, but sign up for the wait list. Someone always bounces, doesn't show up. On the Sunday, that's ladies through the club, like through Sherwood Park. Miramichi, we're doing that one September 15th. That's in New Brunswick. September 22nd, that's Lone Butte, women's only. September 28th, Chaz. September 28th, CFB Borden. And then September 29th, CFB Borden, known distance. This is going to be our second known distance that we've done. So we should have things very well squared away once that's done. Cape Nova Rifle and Revolver Club in Nova Scotia. That'll be October 5th. Stittsville will be October 5th and 6th. You find all of these on mapleseedrifleman.com/events.
Can I add one more event?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, of course.
CRPS just announced they're doing a King of 0.22 miles out in Ontario on October, I want to say 26th weekend. So 22 is out to 700 meters, if you can do it.
What kind of angle are you shooting at? 45 degrees?
I don't know. The scope just goes like this, and then you just kind of send it.
We're doing aerial fire instead of direct fire.
Oh, it's still direct fire. It's just a bit more of an arc to it.
I see Kyle is typing something from Wapiti Shooters Club. Do you want to do that?
Sure. Yeah, I saw this one. Wapiti Shooters Club is doing a ladies' intro to shooting night on September 13th from 6 to 9, 6 to 8, something like that, p.m. They're doing 22 rifles, and they are provided as well as the ammo. I did not see the cost. I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. But yeah, so if you're in the Grand Prairie area, it's $40 a person. So, and there is eye and ear protection available. So basically, you just got to show up and they'll put a gun in your hands and teach you how to shoot.
That's awesome. All right, going to the news. Newly certified rangers cannot use prohibs other than... Oh, I think I heard this story from CCFR.
Yeah, where Tracy posted it.
Well, I think Ontario Rangers, there was a message sent out by the CFO saying you can't shoot prohibs at approved ranges anymore. And I think the argument made was it wasn't clear on if it included 12-3. Is that the correct term for it?
12.6, I think.
A 12.6. Is that?
That's the short barrel pistols. A lot of folks had grandfathered short barrel pistols that they were still allowed to shoot at the range. Tracy suspects probably still the case. It's always best to get clarification, and the Ontario CFO sucks. So
I think it also included LE, because I think they didn't specify law enforcement using the ranges as well.
Well, because like there's that one cop that he got in trouble for taking his personal AR to the range. It was like an indoor range, and he was doing the whole, oh, look at me, I'm a cop, I don't have to follow the laws. And then somebody reported him, and I guess he got himself into some trouble for that.
It says there's an exception in there for there's an exception in there for public agents. I don't know if they consider like cops public agents or what have you.
Yeah,
probably if you are on the Government of Canada paycheck, right?
Yeah.
There's some news about PSA working with Paul Harold's family. Unfortunate news. Paul Harold, YouTube legend, has passed away. And who added this story to the notes?
I did.
Okay, Adriel will explain the details, I guess.
Yeah, some people bullied PSA. They're saying, like, hey, you should make a version of Paul Harrell's AR and then give all the proceeds to the family. And they did it. They did it. They checked with the family first.
I love,
and they're like,
PSA.
Hey, yeah, what do you want us to do with this? And they're like, let's donate it to a charity or something. So they're gonna name the charity, and PSA is going to make the rifle and put the proceeds to it.
And I guess Adriel added the Paulie thing as well.
I did. Yeah. So there's a news piece today that they're upset that it's kind of funny because they don't like the new legislation, and neither do we, but for different reasons. They want everything banned. Anyways, one of the things that they shared was a photo of a new assault weapon model.
Oh, this is great. I think I saw this before. I wanted to be a real thing though.
Yeah. Share it. But it's okay. I'll share the screen here so you guys can see as well. So they said new models continue to hit the Canadian market like this, the KD-85C rifle.
When are we getting that?
I'll take it tomorrow.
I want it. I don't know. Maybe this is because of Rainbow Six. I started to have an affinity for the L85 or the SA-80. Well, depends on how you want it.
Tony, if you like that, you'll be happy to know that some guy in the I don't know where he is, US, Canada, someone's making a WA-2000, and they're really close. The metal's all in the white, but it's functional. 300 Win Mag, semi-auto bullpup.
That sounds like the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Or the best shit you've ever heard.
No, yeah. I don't want it. 308, okay. Please.
We disagree. Anyways, here's Paulie also showing that picture to the CBC for a CBC article.
Oh, wow.
Did they just because I don't understand how an anti-gun org can have so many people in it that know nothing about what the gun laws are in the country that they're demanding gun laws for.
So Paulie isn't, they don't know anything about guns. They're an incrementalist organization. So they'll start like this. Hey, we think you guys should do a buyback. We should think you should ban all these guns. Okay, the Liberals, okay, yes, sir, let's do all the things. And then they're like, actually, we're not happy with it. It should have covered more. Now there's these new guns coming out. You should have just banned all semi-automatic firearms, right? That's their end game, is just an incrementalist approach to banning everything. There's on that article that they were complaining about, this most recently thing here, they pulled a quote from the 90s when they were like, oh, for this, once this legislation's in, we're done. We'll be happy. We don't need to exist anymore. We don't need to do anything anymore. That was from the 90s. No such. There is no happy middle ground. There's no compromise. There is only take more and more and more until you have none.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I wasn't born at that time yet. Mm-hmm. The magazine limit came out of Paulie. Is that correct? At least I thought so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember IPSC trying to negotiate an exemption. And they were told they would get an exemption, and then they didn't.
That's what I've heard as well.
Yeah. Yep.
One day we'll get rid of them.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Just want an MP5.
They're fun.
They're fun. I want an MP5K. I want the really little bitty one. Those ones are the most delightful.
Well, for picking versions, I want the SD.
Oh, okay.
Good
MP5
choice.
MP5 SD.
Excellent choice. That is iconic.
All right, going to new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye Norse. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye Norse is the Canada's shooting super sword and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top training gear for any shooter. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition. Some conditions apply, such as oversized item or remote areas. They also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get the first access to the hottest deals. This week we have the Uberti 1885 High Wall in 4570. Adriel, can you help pull that up, please?
Maybe.
For a crisp $1,900, which is surprisingly cheaper than their 223 version, which seems to me to be crazy. But if you want a classy falling block, single shot 4570, that's hopefully will not get banned one day. But
that double set trigger on that too?
Yep.
Nice. That'd be cool.
You want fancy.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Be cooler in 4590, but.
Yeah.
45-110.
Don't worry, it will handle it. Load it to your brim with all the powder you got.
Black powder, yeah.
Can load these single shots pretty hot, though.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong design.
Anywho, we'll get Adriel to pull up the next slide. I've been talking about this for 2 weeks, but I was missing for 2 weeks. So, Springfield Armory has launched their AOS system, so agency optic system, on their 1911 series of pistol. This was done by Springfield Armory on their quote-unquote 2011 style 1911 DS series of pistols to start. So this will pretty much solidify my purchasing decision. If we ever get pistols back, this will be one of the pistols of my choice. I've lusted over the Springfield Armory operator for pretty much the longest time after I've gained some knowledge about competition handguns, and it's pretty much a better choice than ever. I can make it into a pseudo limited 10 optics gun if I needed to, and it's available on a few versions: the operator, the Ronin, and the Emissary, I believe. And I believe they're the third on the market to go optics ready was a 1911. The first two being, at least the ones I've known of from a bigger manufacturer, 6 Hour was their 1911 X-Full, and then Den Wesson was their specialist. The Den Wesson is $2,300 US, and the SIG, I think, is $1,500. So all things considered, this is a lot more affordable. And I shot a Springfield weekends ago and runs well. So
I think they're not the first, though.
No, they're because, like the third.
Yeah.
No, I think there's been more than that.
Norinco has a red dot 1911, as long as you pay some guy in a boat to put this plate on the top.
Yeah. You gotta how much shave did just that cost? Enough off too, right?
What's that, Dustin?
You got to shave just enough off, too.
Yeah.
Not too much. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You can't pay me to have one of those. Well, except in the current situation.
Oh, really? You wouldn't take this? You wouldn't take this right now?
Right now, that's an exception.
1911
right?
In the hand is worth none in the gun fair. Safe, Tony.
That's Let's fair. Just... That's fair. But like, if I have an option, you can't pay me to have one of those. The pride of the U.S. flag flies ahead of us. So
Springfield. Right. There's That's, better handguns.
There's way
yeah. better. I'm going to prove that to you that I can't break it.
Well, I'm trying to understand. So this operator, is that single stack?
Yep.
So why would you go with the 9mm when you can't shoot in the... can you shoot in the single stack division with that, or does it have to be 45?
No, you can shoot... So single stack, you can go either major power factor, 8 rounds is the limit, or minor power factor, 10 rounds is the limit.
Okay.
Tony, you really got a thing for like obsolete divisions, hey?
Revolver is what I'm aiming for. Yes.
We're going to watch. We are going to get full capacity magazines in the next couple of years, and Tony is going to be alone shooting Revolver division.
Which means I'm winning every single time.
Yeah.
See, if I'm the champion, I'm happy.
Yeah, if my local police department picked these things, I'd be kind of choked. I'd be saying, like, maybe not defund the police, but maybe you guys have too much money if you guys are buying this kind of stuff.
I never said 1911 was cheap.
Someone consult for the police. Like, don't defund them, just consult for them.
Yeah, this is the kind of person that I expect to buy this. You know, you're doing leather, you got the 1911, like, it's classy. This is not a police handgun.
No.
Too heavy.
I can't embrace the modern days too, but then I have to race against Taylor. Who want to do that? No. You gotta race in the slowest division possible. Some other news. Looks like Polymer 80 is dead. The news came from, oh God, what's her YouTube channel name?
Liberty Doll. I saw it a couple
Liberty
places
Doll,
too.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a few mentions. I don't believe their website is accessible anymore.
What happened with that? Anybody? I haven't been following the Polymer 80.
I believe their owner tweeted, X-ed, basically they're kind of in a 80RS situation where they're getting sued too much.
Right.
Getting that sued makes left sense. And right.
So it's just, overall, it's just bad for business, right? I don't blame them, but my question is to all the P80 frame owners, how are you going to do your service and warranty stuff nowadays?
That's just a frame.
It's just a it was $130 frame
for a warranty ever.
It's still money. Anyhow.
Yeah. This isn't a new gun thing. This is just like, I didn't even know it was a thing, but there's, I think a buddy of mine found it on maybe it was on Discord. I don't know where I found this. It's a 410 revolver tactical collapsing stock with an AFG and backup iron sights shotgun.
I'm in love with this a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Must see picture.
I sent Adriel a picture of it already.
I thought I was sharing this. Here, let me pull that up. There we go.
I need that. I'll bet you it's not good, but I need it.
That
I was thinking about getting like a revolving.
All right.
Rifle of sorts, but like I know it's a low risk of chain fire these days, but just the thought of it
for the head turn effect, like it's completely unnecessary. Don't get me wrong, I do want a revolver shotgun kind of, but like they're all kind of crappy, but oh God, it's so awful and wonderful at the same time. Tell me that doesn't just want to go on the wall.
That would turn heads. That would absolutely turn heads. Yes. And it's
not at the wall, not on the wall though. You got to bring this to the Clay's Club.
This is your sub gauge gun.
This is the thing that Dave would do.
I could just imagine rolling up gun club, and so there's like a gun club in Vancouver in Richmond. It's shotguns only, and they've got real restrictions on barrel length. Don't you dare think about bringing a tactical shotgun there. It would be hilarious for the memes alone.
Instaban.
There is a range that will not name around the Calgary area, a claim range, and they have a minimum barrel length requirement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought about buying a KSG 25 just to troll them.
Well, 32 Wapiti inch had the barrels. Same thing. If your shotgun won't fit in their shotgun stance, you can't shoot it on the sporting clay.
Yeah.
How would they respond if I bring a KSG 25?
It probably won't fit in the rifle stand in the stands that are out at the stages. So
why not?
It's too because they're
too long. It's like rods that keep your barrel only in one space. So if your barrel's too short, you can go past the rods. You can go past the box.
Yeah, like it's got cutout scalps on the top, and so your buttstock just sits down on a piece of wood and then leans into this scalp piece of wood. So that top board is too high that you wouldn't be able to put your shotgun in the stand.
KSG 25 is real long, though.
What do you guys think the odds are that this particular? I'm not familiar with this particular revolver shotgun. Just all the Turkish ones have been crappy. What do you think the odds are that that one's any good at all?
Zero.
Very slim.
What do you mean by any good?
Feel like you've been bathing in pink insulation.
Yeah. Like trigger pull is probably terrible. I have one.
I bet you it's crunchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can run a single stage, right?
It's probably faster to reload single action, tube, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, it depends if it's, if it swings out. Is it double action, single action?
I think it's DSA. Double. It looks like it.
It's double single.
Double single? Okay. Yeah. So then your cylinder should swing out then. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the armorer hat on one day, and I think I'm going to turn one of these into like a big, like leg mounted, like hand cannon for someone.
Yes. Yeah. Just axe that buttstock, and there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that needs to happen one day.
Isn't that just a long barrel version of the Judge?
Kind of.
Well, except for it doesn't shoot from the bottom cylinder.
The judge shoots it from the top.
I'm thinking the wrong one. Yeah.
The Rhino. Well,
Rhino. Yeah, I was thinking Rhino. Yeah.
I don't want the Judge. I want the bull. I want the Raging Bull so bad. When we get handguns again, if anybody's got a 6-inch Raging Bull, not the 4.5-inch, contact me. I want it.
This has to be the long boy.
Anyway.
What's the next thing we got on here?
Ely had this new
interest
name, very, very long ammo available on Cabela's. I saw it's supposed to be on sale this on Wednesday, but anyway, it's called the Ely semi-automatic 22LR bench rest outlaw. A lot of names. I didn't know Ely made that much semi-auto ammo, but yeah, I saw it's something to bring up. Link to the previous episodes where we mentioned Cabela's now carry Ely ammo.
What do you think makes it outlaw?
Too fast?
42
grain. No, it's only 1,000 feet per second. It's 42 grain.
Hmm.
Maybe that's too much for...
I think this is basically just semi or subsonic Ely force.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it has me thinking.
I just thought it's funny. Had a very long name.
Yeah. Now, something you really want to get from Cabela's, the cheapest shotgun ever made.
130. Wow. 12 gauge.
Yes. Beautiful.
The reviews on it aren't very good.
How are yours running?
Five. I have three.
Or how are yours to shoot, I should say.
So sometimes if you don't lock it all the way in, if you don't lock the barrel in, and this, the little disassembly lever is out, because the disassembly lever is attached to the firing mechanism. So if it's out a little bit and it's not locked, it won't fire. So it needs to be snapped completely shut.
Okay, but, at least it wouldn't fire out a battery.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can fix that.
So I have one in 20 gauge that my youngest uses for hunting small game and destroys everything that it looks at. And I have a 12 gauge slugger for slugging deer, and then I have a 12 gauge as a PAL firearm.
That would be
return on investment very fast.
Like that's a great turnaround for that gun, right?
Yeah, yeah, for 129. So yeah, this what we're looking at here is a Charles Daly 101 single barrel shotgun, 12 gauge, $129.98. They're not good shotguns, but they're very light. This approximate 6 pounds? No, they're 5 pounds. They're 5 pounds. They're very lightweight. They like kick your shoulder because they are so lightweight. But they're very cheap and very... The only thing, the downside with this one, this 12 gauge one, is that it's using a 28 inch barrel and it doesn't fold very compact when they're that long. About a 16 or an 18 is a better idea for one of these things.
But doesn't it does it take down fairly easy? Can you just break it down?
Folds right in half.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Here, let me grab one.
I would say use case for our listeners, anybody that wants to put a gun on the wall and isn't particularly concerned about what that gun is, you could deactivate this for not a lot of money.
Yeah. Budget friendly.
Yeah.
Well, slay some gross.
Yeah. This is the 20 gauge one. So I've put a butt pad on it for my kid, and
that's simple, straightforward,
cheap.
To be honest, I really don't like shotguns that break open shotguns that break open too much.
Well, this is so that it can fit.
It folds, yes, but
it's very small.
I just don't like that part about it. Anyway.
Yeah, you can't put this over your arm; it swings all over the place.
No,
don't like that.
But as a compact shotgun that's very, very cheap that you can take for your kids out. Yeah, I like it.
cool.
And last but not least, I'll have Adriel open that up for us. There is an Apple rebate for used to be Vista Outdoor ammo. So they sound like a scam, but not really, because they split. I think Sella and Bella was going to buy them, but they split their bins unit in half. One of them being on the non-guns, well, not quite non-gun, but non-ammo stuff. And the second group being the Kinetic group, where it's a Lion Powder, CCI, Estate shotgun shells, Federal ammo, Remington, Spear, Heavy Shot. So they have an ammo promotion for a lot of stuff. They're Bismuth shots, I believe it's what, like $5 off each box in US funds. I did check, Canadians are qualified. And for basically premium ammunition under Federal and Remington. So it can't be American Eagle, it can't be UMC. So like your Premier Match, your Hunting Ammo, Terminal Ascend, Acubon. I forgot what their product lines are. But you still have some time, like I think end of October, you have 20% off your purchase price up to $50. So you can buy $250 in ammo. Hmm. It doesn't quite qualify for range ammo, but prepping for your hunting, prepping for your target shooting, if you shoot exclusively like 308 Sierra Match Kings from Federal, would be a good deal.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's other, like, you know, I could go buy a couple of boxes of 45-70. Took that gun out. Everybody got one round because that ammo is getting real expensive. But
you should reload for that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know I should. That's a single stage reload stuff. That
what? Reload it on a progressive?
No.
What? Of course.
No.
I got it. I need to take a video. I would need to take a video of me reloading 223 to show you the power.
Frankfurt X10. That's going to be the next one for me.
Yeah.
I've heard both sides of the story on the X10. I've heard it have too many stages, so it jams up very easily. I've heard people having great success. So, I don't know. I'm a firm believer in Lee.
No, Frankfurt's got some nice stuff as of late.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And for more new gun stuff in the Canadian space, we have longtime listener and contributor, annual news reporter from TACOM, Mike, on the show. Mike, take it away.
TACOM happened this weekend. It was a great weekend. See you. Oh, no. We're going to go. Oh, you want to know the details?
Meh. A couple of guns we were interested in.
A couple of guns got released. Some new stuff got released. Stuff I didn't know was going to be there got released, too.
Hmm. Well, yeah, the BCL Grizzly, the WK-180C Gen 3, Crypto, R18 Mark 3, R9 Mark 1.
BCL and Badger.
The Bren 2 DMR. What was that, sorry?
The BCL Badger.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
So, like, SRV2, but different.
Yeah.
SRV2, nice.
but more expensive. Which one do you want to start with? Which one was the most interesting? Which one do you want to buy after seeing?
What do I want to buy? The Sterling.
The Sterling?
The Sterling.
The pistol caliber or the rifle caliber?
Rifle caliber, and then I want to get a barrel maiden 6 arc for it.
Hmm. Ooh. Yeah, so they...
6 looks arc like they, out of a semi-auto was just nice.
Your long-range shooter was a Wildcat. Jeez.
That's not a Wildcat.
Wow. It's
factory ammo.
There's not a lot of factory ammo for it, though.
Yeah, Hornady makes it. They came up with it.
Yeah.
Fort Scott Missions make for it, which I met the rep this weekend at TACOM.
Yeah.
That's some cool bullet technology, actually.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about the R18 Mark III. What makes you want to get it? So they cut the cost down a bunch. That's the biggest one for me, because it cost too much before.
Yeah. So it's
$3,000 gun before, right?
I mean, you got to pay for quality ammo, but yeah, so R18 Mark III, it feels like an HK. I would put it up there with HK quality. See, Dustin's already glaring at me. It's got HK vibes to it when you pick it up and feel it.
Wait, like, which HK vibes? Because, like, I've picked up some HK.
416. We're thinking 416.
Okay, okay, good. Okay, fair, fair.
It's got strong 416 vibes to it. Okay, and they're retailing for $1,800.
That is tempting.
Price is better.
It's got charging handle in a great spot. It's got the HK bolt release above the magazine release. Ambi. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice gun. It went down to a carbine length system.
Oh, nice.
But so they redesigned the gas system
too. It was a trade position. Yeah, Kodiak said, we went rifle length. Sterling says, we go short.
Carbine length. Yeah, they swapped. They one was doing one and now they're doing the other. It's so weird.
They're also both complete redesigns.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that was one thing.
It's the funny part that Sterling never had a breakage issue. They thought strengthening the system would be better. Kodiak had a reputation for breaking that. Now I think they should linger thing the system, which I don't think make any sense, but.
But they went with a three piece. They're all going three piece on the.
It's closer to the more of the original AR-18 design.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All of them are doing that. All of them changed. They all changed their gas system so that they don't break pistons anymore, or hopefully don't break pistons anymore.
Gas tubes.
That's not 180 anymore.
But they removed the adjustable gas block.
Yeah.
No, they added an adjustable gas block.
Oh, some of them removed. I can't remember which one. One of them removed the adjustable gas block, and then
yeah, I'm just reading on the show notes that under R18 is saying removed adjustable gas block and uses a fixed one instead.
Oh. That's what
it
I saw.
It could be on that one, yeah.
Well, yeah. Then how are we going to put a can on that when we get those?
Get an AR-15 instead.
Yeah, good.
Well, I mean, the R9 does have a tri-lug mount on it. The short restricted R9 has a tri-lug mount.
Yeah, I'm sure that one's seen a can or two. I have no doubt they've got some kicking around in that shop.
I couldn't comment on that. I don't know. But you know, I didn't know the Kodiak was being released either, the Gen 3. We were just walking by and some said, oh, there's a Gen 3. I said, where? So we had to go see Kodiak. But it looks more in line. That's the Kodiak we should have got like 3 years ago.
It's, again, I as much as I poo-poo on them all the time, I do understand, you know, like that iteration process, get a thing out, let that pay for the, you know, next version and the next version, and then there's a good version.
Here's my comment. Hey, Kodiak, sorry about this, but where's my user manual for .K9?
Oh, my God.
No, use
magazine.
No way.
Bolt.
You'll get one.
Go.
There's a trick to putting the gun back together on the K9, but anyway.
Okay, so you're team R18.
I'm team R18.
Okay. And do you think, like, now is that personal? Do you think that that's the true and honest, like, front runner of, like, of the three? Or
I think it is. I will say, if you have AR parts at home, the Crypto is up some people's alleys too.
Yeah.
I will also say, if you're going to do like a 450 Bushmaster, some of them bigger cartridges, the Crypto might be better for you just because the way it interfaces with the upper and the lower, you have a good piece of metal there that's probably about yay wide with two pins going in. So all that force, you have a good recoil lug to back on. If you wanted to do like a 458 or one of some of the bigger AR cartridges, that would be the way to go.
50 Beowulf.
Yeah, one.
Like 2-3 round magazines. Does the Crypto have a FRT yet?
No, it's not going to get one.
It's at the lab right now, but FRT applies to import and... Yeah, it's at the lab, but FRT only applies to import and export.
Was there any obligation to send it to the lab?
I thought they said they weren't going to send it to the lab.
Why would they? What, like, there, that is.
I could be wrong.
Ever, like,
customer assurance.
You know, we made this gun banned. Like,
if it was banned, the RCMP would have kicked in their doors already.
No. I'm just saying, like, that has to be the only conclusion at the the end of the lab, like this is an AR-15. It's not, but neither is the Typhoon.
It will be.
Yeah.
FRT only applies to import and export. So if you're making one domestically, the FRT doesn't apply.
Yeah, but if the RCMP Firearms Lab calls it a variant of an AR-15 and says, well, then it's prohibited, then it's still prohibited. Well, there's a...
kinda, sorta.
Question mark at the end of that sentence, but, I don't know that I'd want to be the guy figuring that out.
But here's I'm pretty sure process. The lab is fully aware of what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, depends on if the technicians...
Because when ATRS was making theirs, they were pretty quick to say, hey, stop what you're doing. And they haven't done that in this case.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, the ARTS has been caught up in that nonsense too, though, right? That's one of those not an AR-15s according to the RCMP Firearms Lab, and then also according to the RCMP Firearms Lab is an AR-15.
Yeah, not a variant. Oh, look, it's a variant.
Yeah.
Yeah. FRT's, it's law, but it's not technically law, but it's used in law.
Yeah, it depends on the judge you ask versus the MP you ask versus the police officer you ask how legal that list is. I don't know. Personally, if I were going to go through the trouble of designing and building a gun from the ground up and say, screw it, we're just going to call this not requiring an FRT, we're not going to send it into the firearms, I wouldn't send it in. But that's... I don't own a firearms manufacturing business, so.
I bet Dustin have the same thought as I have. Hopefully there is a future methodology that will take that all away.
Yeah.
It's called simplified something something. Anyway, we'll skip that part.
Let's
move on to the Sterling R9, which is something I was paying more attention to because I shoot a PCC now, because options are fewer. I've noticed a few key things. It has a MP5 style magazine, which isn't too clear to me. Apparently 10 rounders would be available in the future, but it will ship with a 5 rounder. Red flag.
How would they make a 10 rounder? Is it a pistol mag?
Apparently there's an FRT for a pistol.
Well, why don't we let Mike tell us? I watched the video and I know this got explained.
Okay.
Yeah. So the R9, wonderful piece of kit. Love the barrel on it. Some people might hate it, but too bad. It's a great barrel. So yeah, the running MP5 style magazines. And the reason for that was with the way you insert into a PCC mag with the Glock mag, you have such an angle to it versus what is natural. You're going to bring up and in instead of trying to do that slant to the side. So that's why they went with that. The other thing is MP5 mags work. We know they work, but these ones have a last round bolt hold open.
Ooh, like that.
So they're not true MP5 mags. They're based off of an MP5 mag, but there's a pistol version, so we will get 10 rounders.
Yeah. I understand, like I said, I watched the video. I understand the theory behind that. I still think going with the MP5 mags was a mistake, because now you've got an exclusive mag that pretty much one person, they're not going to be able to be found. I think there was other mags they could have made that to accept that would have... If they wanted to correct the insertion angle.
No. They're making a ton of magazines for this thing.
For the video viewers, here's an example of a Kodiak K9. Here is a magazine. You'll see, because how the pistol grip is designed, you'll be inserting it at an awkward angle of sorts.
Right.
More like back swept, so you'll be inserting like so, instead of more AR-like.
Interesting.
Playing with the magazine, it is more intuitive to just load it like that.
Metal mags?
For sure, I get that. I was just concerned on, like, I know you said they're bringing them in and everything, but the availability of mags, I just, and
they're
being such an exclusive mag.
The mags.
I
believe the Magpul MP5 mags should fit in it, from my understanding.
I looked it up. Magpul only make drums for the MP5. It will be riveted to 5 because it's a rifle magazine. Now you're going to run 5-round magazine in an IPSC competition. That's not going to happen. So my opinion
they're going to make 10 rounders. They're going to make 10.
There's 10 rounders.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think from what I'm running, I think it's easy enough to train around that to take advantage of very cheap magazines. It's just how I think about it. And if there's 5-rounder and 10-rounders, there's kind of a legal gray area to it. I know it's not supposed to be a gray area, but the reality is it is.
And no, they're
very difficult.
It's like going to ship with a 5-rounder because it's a rifle. You can't ship it with a 10-rounder. And then, hey, look, you can go to the
import 10-round pistol.
You
can.
You can't sell it with a magazine designed for that rifle. But Tony, there's been rifles already that we've had that come with a 5-rounder magazine because that magazine was designed for it. But also take the pistol magazines that are 10-rounders. It's been done already.
Yeah. That's fair.
It just depends on how much again. I think the one thing that's probably also working in the favor, because like you turn the clock back a couple of years, that probably wouldn't fly, right? Like, you know, the whole dual use magazine thing that was used to ban XYZ magazines. Because that was a thing. They were trying to bring in, they're trying to bring in some, I want to say pistol mags for, was it the
858?
ATA made the Enfield mags for the M305s.
Those weren't made for the M305s. They were made for an Enfield. Yeah.
Right.
But there were some Colt mags that they tried bringing in. They tried making the 858 and getting one classified as a pistol, but they weren't able to. Edward from TV Press Pass tried doing that.
That's right.
So I have another question on the mags and the 10-rounders that they're building. Has there been any talk of making a longer body mag and pinning it to 10 or making an extension? Because looking at the video, it's like a 10-round length magazine. And for PCC, you kind of want to load that like a rifle. So you want that long mag so you have a fistful of mag and you slam it in there, not have to load it like a pistol.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
So this would be a bad example.
I think that would be great. Especially, they're making lots of mags at an affordable price, I presume. And if they made that extension or the longer body, I think, cool. Now, perfect. Awesome.
Yeah, there should be some with longer bodies off the top of my head.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit more about it. I think there's a couple other cool features here that I'd love to hear about.
Yeah, the barrel. So what they did with the barrel is, with a 9mm, you only have so much powder that can burn in that case. So it is an 18-compliant barrel, but it only has rifling up to the first 9 or 11 inches.
Mm.
And then it's kind of like the pin and weld thing in the States, because it's integral. So think of it as a real big compensator about 4 inches long, 4 to 6 inches long at the end of the barrel.
Okay.
Similar to TACOM the idea does that. Of Kel-Tec CQB, where only a short portion of it is rifle, and then the rest is empty, and then the rest is a suppressor.
Yeah, a lot of PCC barrels are like that, where it's only rifled for like 6 to 10 inches, and then it's just bored out the rest of it. But yeah.
So that's what the R9 will have. That
it's interesting that like you were saying, it's like because I know you can get the long breaks that basically, like you're saying, pin and weld for the States, and they looked like they cut it out so that kind of mimicked that on the basically the extended shroud of the barrel.
And both of the R9 and the R18, if you want to change the caliber, they're going to publish the barrel specs. So you just go to your gunsmith, say, make me this, and put it on this, and you're off to the races.
I like that. Nice.
Yeah, like kind of an open source kind of thing. IBI would be happy to turn you out a premium high performance barrel.
Because Sterling said, they're not a gun maker or a barrel maker. They're a gun maker. Let the guys that do barrels make barrels.
I like that. That's a good attitude to have. And what's the price point?
It'd be $1,800-ish for both of them.
That's not bad.
The 18 will be coming with the trigger tech.
Really?
Yeah, that's the really big news out of that one.
In the box. The R9, they're working. Trigger Tech's going to get one of the R9s, and they're going to make something that works for the R9 before they just release it.
I thought they were going to report back to see what needed to be changed on the R9. So they're going to make a specific trigger for the R9, so it's not going to be...
Or it's going to work at some point with the trigger tech, they're just going through what do they need to make sure it's going to
work. I really hope they go the other way and see what needs to be done on the R9 for an existing trigger to work in it.
Because he's going to run a Timney.
Well, just for the simple fact that people can choose, if you want to run a Hyperfire, go run a Hyperfire. You're not tied to one company. Like the whole idea of like an AR style or like the modular style gun is that it's like Lego set. You build and customize it to the way you want. So if you're going to marry it to one part, it kind of takes that, doing the dimensions to AR type guns and that kind of takes that away.
Yeah, but look at the FX9. It technically takes AR triggers. Do they work? Some do, some don't. But Trigger Tech, like we...
Was the R9 marketed as, hey, we take AR accessories and everything to keep the cost down, though? Or not the R9, sorry, the FX9 is what I mean.
I can't remember.
I think it was ambiguous. They said you could, but they recommended keeping your old
trigger. Yeah, I honestly don't know.
So. I did some research into it.
But like Sterling said, too, they're rifle makers. Trigger Tech knows how to make good triggers. Let them deal with triggers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not asking them to make the trigger themselves. I just would hope that if like what Trigger Tech has for a PCC trigger doesn't work in it, that it would be the receiver that changed to accept that trigger than making a specific trigger for that gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That I'm not sure about.
Did they have some timelines for when we might see these things in the wild, like the R18 and the R9?
It's possibly first quarter 25.
Oh.
Possibly. Don't quote me on that.
Cool.
And basically, they don't want to product test on their customers. They want it done right before anyone actually gets their hands on it.
That is respectful.
It's nice. That's refreshing.
Yeah.
So if it takes longer, it's because they want it to work, not because they want to take their time on it.
I can respect
that.
They
want to take the time on it. Even though SIG has also done that to their customers.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
SIG's definitely some issues only come out. People.
Yeah, some issues only come out when you have got like a large volume of them out there with a large volume of different users. But there's definitely some things that they could have fixed from the start.
Yeah, who would have ever thought to whack the thing on the back with a hammer?
Drop test it.
Not even that. The 365 where the Striker was dragging on primers. The 320, we all know about that. The SIG Cross fires when you close the bolt.
Well, you didn't mention with the R9 the firing pin safety.
Yes. Both the R18 and the R9 will have a firing pin safety.
That's interesting.
It's because the R9 is a blowback. So having a fire pin safety, and that's a meaty bolt too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That bolt has heft.
Needs
thick
to.
With three
needs,
C's.
Needs, it's, it needs to be a pound and a half.
It's direct blowback, right? So.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. And if it's going to be MP5-ish mags, I'm okay with this. I'm kind of over plastic mags a little bit. Like a lot, actually. I love the ones that fit my Evo, but the original ones were all plastic, break. I could do with some metal mags.
Aesthetically, it looks better because I hate every PCC with a Glock mag. It's just like this. I hate the look of it. It looks ugly. That's why I refuse to own one.
You could have, I don't know if you can anymore, you could have a Colt style stick.
Nobody wants straight. That. Like, only you.
I know. I just, I want rounders. Glock mags. I'm a show for Magpul Industries, okay? I've never had a problem. Plastic mag for the win.
You and the U.S. Department of Nuclear Energy.
No, but that's all right. So was there, I see we've got a Bren 2 DMR on here too.
I didn't actually get to check that out.
Oh. Okay, this must be, Tony, this is your list.
No, I added all those in.
Oh,
because I was curious, mostly curious because I'm always looking at the black rifles to see like, oh, should I own something different for 3-gun is primarily right. What I'm looking at those for. The Bren 2, so Bren, sorry, they updated all their stuff. Is it the Bren 3 now? Or is it still the Bren 2 just updated?
I know the Bren 3 was coming, but I don't know if it actually we're going to see it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's made landfall yet here.
Well, it's out. It's primarily like they're fixing things on it to make it more durable.
Yeah.
Because it's in a war zone. So yeah. They found out, oh, you know that sliding bit on the back, the plastic on plastic?
Not good.
Eventually you wear it out if you're in a war zone. So they're putting one part in metal now.
Yeah.
There's that kind of thing.
The little clip for the stock as well. Little bits.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's primarily the stuff they're changing on the Brent. They also changed the gas system from off, on, adverse to not having an off because we don't have rifle grenades anymore. That's not a thing. We have drones instead. So they've got normal, adverse, and silencer modes on it.
See, like, all right, that I've played with a couple of Brens. The roommate's got a couple of them. Bren in 308 that I could potentially put a can on. That'd be the new hunting gun. That'd be the new hunting gun. Yeah, that I like that.
You can heavy metal. Own a Kel-Tec RFB and 20 round foul mags.
I don't know that I'll ever own another Kel-Tec. I'm gonna.
But then you. Not everyone wants the beach plastic carbine.
No.
Yeah. So, Mike, you sent over a bunch of photos from it. Why don't I pull those up? They're going to be in reverse order. Sorry, but
that's fine.
Why don't we go through those? Because I want to see what you thought was interesting. Because you were there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they did have pistols there. I wanted to ask about this.
There were some pistols there. So Alpha had this was a less lethal pistol.
Oh,
that was in the Kiapa booth.
Okay.
Like a pepper ball gun kind of deal?
I think they're just like rubber bullets, like paintball style.
Yeah.
That was neat. I didn't know you could get those.
Painballs. Yep.
Painballs. Coyote deterrents.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Neat. We can have some things, I guess.
Ooh.
So that is the tag-in launcher for the tag-in airsoft grenades. So they have like little 40 mil shells. They're working on getting the explosive ones legal in Canada. But right now they have the dummy ones and they have the chalk marking rounds.
I have a mighty need.
Explosive shells now, what?
They're working on the HE shells for getting them legal in Canada.
I have a mighty need.
Adriel, does the chassis gun says you cannot shoot HEs out of your underslung barrel grenade launcher?
Oh, Might put you in open.
This has a...
fine.
It's like an HPA tank, and that becomes the stock. So this is more like a 203 unit.
Yeah, you put it underneath another gun, right? Cool.
Fine.
Go to the next picture. It'll explain this picture.
There we go.
So this is some really cool bore cleaning stuff rifle cleaning. It smells fantastic.
Hmm.
It's like a citrusy kind of smell, and it's all natural.
Oh, so there's no getting high in a poorly ventilated shop while you're cleaning 20 guns on the weekend?
Well, there goes all my fun.
But it's and it's all natural.
Cool. Oh.
It's like a
cool.
It's some very cool stuff.
What's the company say there?
Boar products.
Gonna have to investigate that.
Yep.
There's a dealer in Canada. He's shipping that out now. This was the heavy breathing intensified during this photo.
Yeah.
Own the night.
Oh, you could own the night. The night is expensive, but you could own it.
The night costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, for buying a superpower. If you got some of the lower end tubes, because in theory, you only need good tubes in the middle too. Your peripherals, you don't need the great tubes. You could possess one of those for about 15,000.
Oh,
okay.
Which is actually not crazy when you're in the night vision space.
Yeah.
For those panos was 15K with the lowest grade tubes, I believe.
Yeah, there was a bunch of guys out at the last three gun match that I think 12 guys all had night vision and they were playing with it at night Cause like we were camping there. Right. So they like 12 guys were out in the field, like playing around with their night vision. One of them was saying though, like they were saying that even just like a cheap, like one cheap tube, you get like 90%. You get there, right? You can see in the night. You can now see everything. But this is
like a PBS 14. They're getting like $2,900 for a PBS 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a white phosphor tube. For that.
Yeah. You can
get a mount, well. Get your helmet, own the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're buying a superpower. Like it's an investment. It's worth it. Kodiak has a 1022.
With an AR charging handle on the top.
With the AR charging handle.
Spectre one.
And they have their own 25-round magazines available.
Shut up. Kodiak. Do you have a price point for that yet?
Didn't get a price point on that one.
Yeah.
That's not something I expected.
Would be interesting.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, 25 rounds too. In a 1022, I'm sure we would all love that.
Well, they've been doing those with that. Oh, what's the? There's a magazine. Starts with an
I saw SBI had a
HC3. That's the HC3 magazine.
That's the same one.
I believe it's the same one or a derivative of it.
I still shoot,
but it is milled, so it only takes that magazine. But your other 1022 mags would work in it.
Nice. Yeah,
it's one of the proprietary, but.
Can I make a, like, can I put my tinfoil hat for a second on? I think this receiver is the SBI receiver. Because look at that charging handle.
Yeah.
It's got two O's in it. And that one's got two O's in it. And
you know, it wouldn't be the first gun they did that with.
True.
Really? I don't know the story.
They did their bolt action.
That cute little thing with like a nice short barrel on it. I've got some
dream. Those Magpul stocks are great.
Yeah.
Found another stock that would work for the 1022 as well.
Oh, okay. Let's keep going here.
Keep going. Nordic Clays. It's a Nordic clay launcher.
What?
What's Nordic about it? Snow?
It was developed in Europe. So. That's just the launcher for it, but they're like a little, you know, the little toys you get as a kid where like it's the fan that would fly off when you ripped it, kind of like a Beyblade.
Yeah.
Right.
It looks like basically a propeller prop, and the clays are made out of potato starch, so they disappear in a very short amount of time, and you spin it on the launcher, and you can fire them clays at, I think he said, 60 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
So it's, and because like how they fly through the air, it's more realistic to ducks landing.
Interesting.
I'm very interested in that. That's not a cheap system, but it would improve your shotgun game tenfold using it.
All right, next.
410. Oh wait, that's the only one we got. Federation. Yeah, 1887.
410
lever gun.
And all it is a tactical lever gun.
Yeah.
In 410, so it's got all the wonderful. I thought it was neat.
I love all of the tacked out lever guns. Ooh,
I'm a big fan of tacked lever gun. And Kiappa's still bringing out some of the classics.
A rolling block.
Rolling block, yep.
Spencer rifle.
Spencer carbine from Kiappa.
Neat.
I thought that was neat. I like it. Kiappa's building old guns again. I think that's an underserved market.
It's a fun, interesting fact, but for some reason the Italians are... Chiappa and Uberti are interested in very old guns for some reason. It's
well, because Italy's got a long history of gun making to begin with.
That's true, too.
They've got a lot of rules around new guns, but old guns, less so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep scrolling on here. What's next? Oh, yeah.
It's BNT action? Or what is that? No, what is that?
MP7.
That is the Pride of Germany.
That is an MP7. What's that doing?
That's
there?
So Paris Designs, they were military. Who's the prop house in Ontario?
Oh yeah, Movie Armaments Group.
So they brought some toys out. So I got to fondle a real MP7. You may now bow.
I've dual wielded them, so it's okay.
Nah, Chinese technology much superior.
can I get a picture with that? They're like, yeah. Okay.
What do we care?
This. KS7. The Kel-Tec KS7 in 410.
What? Why?
They're so cute.
They're so dumb.
They're so light. No, as a backpack gun, that would be awesome in 410.
Give me all the power. 12
gauge. But then you gotta have find ammo for it, and that's like.
No, it's easier now. There's ammo everywhere.
It's gotten easier.
It's still expensive.
Still not cheap. Like, still birdshot, because like I was hunting for slugs and things like that for 410. Like,
I think it's almost regional, because I could find slugs no problem, but I couldn't find anything but slugs.
To save my life, I couldn't get slugs out here last year when I was playing around with those revolvers.
I think our ammo gluts are regional.
Yeah.
Especially with 410, because I know where I can get some birdshot, number 4, and slugs for 410.
Yeah.
That's changed recently. Cool. Looks light. Looks like a nice little quad gun.
It weighed nothing.
What?
Grenade! Duck!
Yes, airsoft grenade.
Airsoft grenades, and these things are loud. We're talking 120 decibels of fun.
At least wear your air protection.
So are these ones like other airsoft grenades where they like fill up a compartment and go kaboom and they're just like good ones? Or
no, these are one-time use only. You pull the pin and throw it, and it's a grenade.
Yeah.
How much were these?
Yeah, how much per pop?
I think a six-pack goes for about $120.
Nice.
So
roughly around
one that. Queen Elizabeth per pop.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
There's a use case for like having. I have some airsoft flashbangs that are the same sort of. Like, there is an argument to be made for having a distraction device you can like chuck into another room and have go off even just for a second. So there's that's cool.
You know, there's a bear outside your house or something else is trying to get into your house. You know, there's options.
Suck on this.
And just sometimes you just want to yell frag out. And...
the day the RCMP comes to kick over the door, suck on this.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
This podcast is for entertainment purposes only.
All right.
This was a restricted rifle. That I believe this was 410. It's like a pepper box.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It was really crowded around the booth. I never got a chance to get closer to it.
Huh.
But you like take the whole thing off and then load it and then put the thing back on.
That's interesting.
Barrels. Bunch of little 410s. Huh.
That's cool.
It was neat.
There we go.
There you go.
The firearm embodiment of the Noah's Ark Family Guy meme will be Penguin and the Elephant.
I hope you didn't name it because it's going overboard.
Yeah, that's so if you want one, Tactical Imports, they got you.
Of course they do.
This is a different name, so I bet you Tactical Imports is bringing them in cheaper because they usually get pretty good deals and they bring stuff.
I think
in.
It's the Axor, I think this one was called.
Yeah, Axor Arms TR410 is what it says there.
Ah, yes. This. Hmm? So the Hera side-loading rifle.
Yep.
I am beyond impressed with these things. I thought side-loading, okay, that's dumb. These things are awesome.
You can go prone with them.
You can go prone with them. When you're holding the rifle, the mag's at such an angle where it doesn't actually affect, it wouldn't hit your arm.
Interesting.
Whoa. You mean this thing is mag-fed, but the mag sticks out like a...
Like FG-42 style, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
And was it? They got there's an 18-inch version, and then they're going to be coming out with a carbine H6K. They're calling it the carbine version. 14-inch barrel on these.
Hmm. Yeah, I've seen these. I saw the news about them for maybe like a year ago or something like that. Still waiting for them to show up.
They should be getting here quite shortly, according to Hera. Cool. But you've got a folding stock, bolt action. The safety's in a nice spot by the bolt. The trigger on this thing is unbeatably phenomenal. Like, the trigger blew me away. He's like, just try it. I'm like, click. What was that? The trigger's awesome. These will also come in 223 and 300 blackout.
Is it a new Maple Sea gun?
Yeah. So yeah, there's another Axor, and then there's the shorty over under, but now there's a tactical version of it.
Of course, made it black.
Yeah.
And then they also have Harriers. Tiny Harriers. 12.
Yeah, there's the Hera. That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to get one of these in 300 blackout.
Yeah, that was exactly where my brain went too. It's like that would be a fun combo for
once the short barrel comes. And their blast effector muzzle device is awesome. Mm-hmm. It looks like a little suppressor. It looks great. It does its job. We had these, of course.
I'm assuming this is a plating company.
No.
Oh, wait, no, those are Type 81s.
Those are Type 81s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm guessing it's the same process as Demo Wrench's Golden 1911, like a titanium some process.
No, it's Cerakote.
Cerakote.
Okay.
Let go.
So we got another Dragunov style Type 81 and the Underfolder AK style.
And the thing about these was these were at the FOC booth. If you bought a magnet, your name got entered into a draw. And these are one of the two things in the draw.
Cool.
So you're in to draw.
Yeah, because the only other way you could purchase a gold one like that is I think you had to commit at least one war crime.
Right.
I don't think more than two continents to get.
Yeah, no, you can just go to a Calgary business called Black Box Custom.
No,
sorry, Tony. No, you got to commit a war crime.
Or complete at least four different drug deals in two different of the Tri-Cities. That's like...
Yeah. There were a couple more side quests on that one, but there was another way to get through that.
Yeah, I figured there's always another way, but it's like a lot of running around.
Yeah. So here is the actual receiver set to the crypto.
Yeah. They
just took an AR and cut it in a different spot. It
looks the same as AR, pretty much.
Yeah.
I want them to leave this one alone because I think a nice 450 Bushmaster could be in my future.
So I have a theory about this real quick. I suspect that they will leave it alone. I suspect that everyone knows the tide is turning and there is nobody's got any more time or patience for it. So we might get another cool new gun. That's really neat.
So like, Dustin,
where is this... I'm really curious on this because that looks like that's pushing the bounds on on what they would like. I mean, yeah,
they had to have known. They have to know somebody in the lab that like thought it was a good idea for them to send it. Because behind the scenes, there's not a ton of people who actually make these decisions, and like that's an AR-15. It's just cut slightly differently. We've changed it just enough that we don't have to call it an AR-15. But
so is there just I'm seeing. So it's just the rear pin, and then you got two pins at the front to kind of keep it from side to side.
There's a flat. It's like a recoil lug, and then there's two dowel pins that come out, and then the receiver mates to it on the front.
Okay, and then it's just your rear pin keeping everything together,
and just your rear take down pin.
Okay.
I don't know. I won't be one of the first purchasers.
After, like we already mentioned, after what happened with ATRS and that, like I can't see how that would get passed, but who knows? That's hopefully.
That's the full crypto as it's going to come out of the factory.
I mean, awesome. Yep. But
yeah, more awesome if it ends up being legal.
Yeah. And then... Crusaders, they're making their own stocks now. This is made 100% by them.
I like the idea of a made product. I don't know
I like how when you adjust it, it also lifts the comb height as well.
Yeah, the comb adjustment at the top there.
But it's automatic. As you bring it forward and backward, it automatically adjusts.
How much is it?
I can't imagine they have pricing.
I'm actually adjusted in what way? As you extend it?
Yeah, it brings it up more.
So you can't adjust that independently of your length?
Yeah, you can adjust it independently, but it will automatically do it as well.
Okay.
Huh. Neat.
Cool.
It was neat. I liked it. But it's going to be 100% made by them. Here's the most contentious thing in guns.
The specialty magazine on the crypto.
I know why they made it. It's just,
of course.
Yeah.
Because the other way to look at it is if we don't get everything we want right away, you still have this.
Yeah. Is it I know that some of these were 3D printed just as models. Was this 3D printed or was this plastic injection?
No, this is like glass reinforced nylon.
Okay, so they're making it properly.
It's a Glock mag for all essential purposes. The other thing is, if you buy a receiver set, I believe you're getting 4 magazines with it right out the gate.
Oh, it was something ridiculous. It was like 6 or something like that. Like
if you get a full rifle, you get 6 of these.
Yeah,
that's so you're really getting 12 magazines with it.
And
they're quite robust too. They're not cheap feeling.
Mm-hmm. That still takes Stanag though, right?
You have to modify it.
No, it's the other way around. This will fit in a Stanag gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, this fits in a Stanag gun. It was designed within the letter of the law.
But a Dremel can make that gun still within the letter of the law, but accept Stanag mags.
But yes. like saying that you wanted to really get some speed ports for them really high side angle 3-gun loads, then, you know.
Fair enough.
As long as you don't modify the mag.
Nope.
Yeah. And then that's a picture of that's the spec sheet R9. For the R9 Mark One.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like they basically like ported, like the whole big chunk of the barrel's just been
ported at the end. Out.
It's yep.
still technically the barrel. I like that.
Neat.
Yep. It's one piece.
Yeah. Be lightweight.
Would be a lot lighter. That's a big complaint for most of the PCCs in here.
I don't like the stubby mag, but I like...
People need to stop complaining about weight.
Yeah.
Fair.
Get good.
Yeah, I'm not that good. Ask Taylor about it.
Get good or carry a real rifle.
Here it is.
Another one, it is in the stand. So this is the short, the restricted version. Also, the cool thing about the R9s with the magazine, because it's got a pick rail stock on the back, but these you can adjust three different heights within the pick for the stock.
Nice.
Yeah, I noticed that when they're setting it up. I mean, I would like to see more guns using pick rail backs. That should be like a standard. If it's not an AR, if it's not the buffer tube, it should be pick rail.
Yeah, it's like M-Lock and key mode at this point. Just we have two standards, pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some good stocks that use the A2 or the AR style tube.
Yeah. But that should be one thing. And if you don't need a buffer tube in there, you go with pick rail because pick rail can be
lighter. If you don't need that buffer tube, then absolutely. Yeah.
And then they fold too. So,
yeah, like exactly.
Yeah. R9. And then this is the mag release on the R9. Yeah. So
I was going to ask you how that felt for activating that. Like how tough that spring was and how much of a reach really is that in front of the trigger?
It's not much of a reach.
No? Is it anything like the Evo?
It's a little bit like the Evo because I think the Evo comes down a bit more.
Yeah.
But you can easily take off your finger, push it down.
Because that's a feature I really, really like. See, like, because it doesn't matter what side of the mag your thumb is on, you can activate it just in and out real quick.
Yeah. Well, so that magazine release, I've got something similar on one of my 1022s right here. So you just press forward like that. And that's what I think what we're looking at here is
it's got the MP5 forward, right? Paddle, and then it has a button as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So you got options.
Yeah. Okay. Options are good. I like the idea. I just was curious on how stiff that was and how much of a reach for like doing like a quick reload that would be. So
no. You once you get your manual arms down, you won't have an issue with it.
Cool.
And there is the magazine in question. That's the 5-rounder.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Ah. The underbarrel shotgun.
I saw these are already in country.
I'm not sure. This was at the Kodiak booth. They had more on the table.
Huh.
I didn't get a bunch of information. About it because Kodiak had cooler things to talk about.
Did they just like decide, hey, that internet YouTube video where they made the underbarrel shotgun from Halo was cool, let's make one?
Yeah,
I think with most of these, like this has a stock, but the idea is you're not supposed to use a stock, you're supposed to use that bit underneath your gun.
You're right, make it a master key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because so many Canadians are breaching doors these days.
Well, I can't go a week without breaching at least one.
What else we got here?
Ooh. We have the WK Gen 3.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That don't look too bad.
It feels nice. I'm not going to lie. I picked it up. I'm like, I could rock this.
Like, yeah, it looks like a real rifle.
Happy to see the Zhukov stock on there.
We got Zhukov stock.
Yeah, and there was a couple other things. Just a second, I took notes of these. Oh, how do I pull that up without...
Extended bolt release. Adjustable gas system, so off regular adverse. Yeah, they went to adjustable. What else was on there? They got a new handguard.
Yeah, it looks nice.
That they got done away was the tiny screw, so that's an improvement.
Yeah, three-piece gas system with regulator, raised pick rail, so everything fits. Non-recip or recip, whatever you want. Dust cover. Yeah, a lot of these are using dust covers now, right?
And then they said you were working on like a FAL style charging handle that folds down.
Ooh.
I don't really like those though.
Something for me to break.
Not for racing, though. It's not as fast.
I race all the time with my gun, so I don't want something that gets out of the way. I want something that's in the way all the time.
Yeah.
Cool. But I guess that's not everyone.
Yeah. You can do guns for more than one purpose.
I guess.
No, all guns are for one thing.
Oh, go the other way, Adriel.
Did it. All right. No, I think I've got to the end.
I think you're going the right way. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. No, yeah, I got through them all. I think I did. I think I got through them all. Facebook seems to think I've got through them all.
Check, because I sent them in bursts, because they wouldn't let me send them all in one.
Not in full auto, but in three-round bursts. Yes.
Yeah,
there's the 410. Oh, there's a Duryea lever here.
Ooh, yes, go pick that one.
Yeah, let's see.
I thought that's already in country, though.
I still want to look at it.
No.
No, that wasn't the Duryea. Should be the Wrangler. Yes, the Duryea 22 lever gun.
Yeah, it's look at the mag release on it. That's not the one I saw before.
This is a 22 that takes the TM22 mag, so if you have a 25 rounder, you can put it in the lever gun.
Mm-hmm.
You could maple seed this.
Yeah. Technically, yes.
Our plan was to put an ARCA rail under it. these right here.
Wait. I like how they
look. Those are the Wranglers, I'm thinking. Yeah,
those are the Wranglers. Yeah. Canuck Wrangler in three flavors. There's going to be more flavors.
If it doesn't come in blue.
Blue? Something just flew over my head, I bet.
We got more Sterling pictures.
There's the Sterling, yeah.
Yeah, but those Canuck Wranglers, super nice. And they got the fully tacked out 16-inch barrel, 357.
I need a good 357 lever gun.
Those Canucks are put together quite sharply.
Cool. This is the R9.
That's pretty nice.
Did you look at that already?
Not from that angle.
No.
That's the short barrel 5.56, I think. I might have sent that grenade photo twice.
He was extra excited about it.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm like, who wouldn't be there?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
That's fair.
Even the price seemed reasonable on him. There's a Wrangler. Got that one. Got that one. There's the grenade MP7.
MP7.
Kodiak. Got it. Got it. R9. Uh-huh. Mags. Stock.
Golden, quote unquote, AK. I see the MP7 appearing twice, too.
Yeah, I think we got them all there.
Okay, yeah. That was the majority of them. There's also the Grizzly we can talk about.
Tell us about the Grizzly.
Yeah.
So take a Siberian and make it bigger and you have the Grizzly, but they got a new charging handle on it, which is more of a square rounded off affair. I really like it. And then it's coming with adjustable gas regulator too. Hmm. So you're going to be able to dial it in.
And I take it that's going to be in like 308.
308 and 6.5 Creedmoor is coming.
Okay, so Mike, one thing that they mentioned that was really blew me away was they said that they're going to be available in aluminum or polymer lowers, the Grizzly and the SRV3, the Badger or whatever.
Badger. Yeah, from my understanding.
That's crazy.
That's lightweight. What I heard too.
Polymer's lightweight, but the thing, like to make a polymer lower, that's a huge cost in getting the mold set up for it.
The mold set up and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
that's wild.
But that is right now one of that and the Crux are your only two really affordable options for a 308. Because that in Siberian, I believe, was around 1800 retail in the Grizzly.
Huh.
Which I instantly thought, what could I caliber convert this to besides 308?
Yeah, I think the Raven 308 is ridiculously 25. Priced right now.
Yeah,
it's also vaporware at this point anyways.
It's not 25, Tony.
You it's more like 35?
38.
Oh, wow.
That Raven will be up there with a B&T. The Raven will be up there.
Yeah, get a B&T then.
Or the Tavor 7. The Tavor 7's out there as well for 308. I think the best, for a semi-auto 308, the best option right now is a built M1 Garand in 308. Because you can get those for around $2,000. Yeah.
But these Grizzlies will be shipping in the next couple of weeks here, 308s.
I believe
they've changed a lot. There's been quite a few new hires on with BCL. They've brought in a lot of new people, so there's some promise going on at BCL. Mm-hmm. There's also, I believe they're also going to start offering training classes as well.
Like
with some people whose names I'm not allowed to say.
Hmm. Voldemort. You can say it here. It's a safe space.
What kind of training?
Long distance training.
Ah, okay.
Well, now you've let too much out of the bag.
Yeah, just start guessing. So,
no, we won't.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, they're working on doing some stuff like that, opening it up, and I really like that Grizzly. I'm not gonna lie,
I have bought like every first run BCL product that has come out, and I have been burned so many times.
Why didn't you learn a lesson the second
every time? Right?
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's
every
like
time. One of the guys that have them, and they run like a champ. I know, got like 2,500, 3,000 rounds on their Siberians. Not a lick of a problem.
Yeah, I you know, I also
some of
know
them are fine.
Yeah,
some of them are not.
That's and you what you call inconsistency, right?
You never know what you're going to get. And even when they're fine. So, like, my BCL 102 first gen, I have one of the first ones came off the thing, 104. It, like, the very, very first run of those guns. I still love it. Weighs a ton. And it was one of the good ones. And it still didn't like to unlock all the time when you'd pull the charging handle back. And, you know, that was the only real flaw that one had. But, like, every goddamn gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's but maybe an interesting history, but they're definitely moving in the right direction.
Fair. Yeah. Fair.
We would like to see them succeed. We'd like to
see, I want to see them succeed.
Good guns.
And that I kind of want the 308.
I'll get the Bren in 308 because, I mean, I'll take a gun that has been tested on the, well, whose design has been tested on the battlefield in the last, you know, couple of years. So.
What's that Bren 2 and 308 going to cost you?
Don't.
$3,500? $4,000?
You could buy night vision and still have money left over for ammo before you buy that Bren.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Dustin. Okay, fast forward in the future. C21 is reversed. The OIC is reversed. You can get Norinco M305s again. You can get Stag 10s again. Now, do you want to spend $3,500 on a semi-auto 308, or do you want to spend about $1,000 on an AR-10?
Yeah, I'll get the AR-10 in heartbeat.
Stag 10s weren't around $1,000.
They weren't super expensive, though.
$1,600?
I want to say
16 to 18.
Yeah,
I got that. Let's see. I'm going to look mine up here.
I'm fine with that. I think an AR-10, like if we truly get like even 80% of what we're hoping for, that non-restricted status for AR, you know, guns under a certain length. Yeah, I'll get an AR-10.
If that's the case, we'll see freaking PSAs flooding the market. Right.
Dustin, like we had some AR-10s that weren't quite AR-10s, but they're still non-restricted. The
Sterling Arms
Stag
thing.
The Nemo Omen.
Yeah, I had a buddy that had one. I was at the time working at trying to sell a couple of my guns to get one of those, and then everything changed.
Because there wasn't 300 Win Mag, I think you could get one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at AR-10 chamberings, and yeah, you can do 300 Win.
That would be fun.
Matrix Aerospace, that was the one that was out there as well.
There was a couple like really, really high-end AR-10s you could get, but that were non-restricted.
Yeah, like there was the Modern Hunter. That was up there in price.
It was like $8,000, that thing, wasn't it? Like $7,000.
Well, if you got it built that way, yeah, you could. You could get it cheaper than that.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. I think you could build a base model. A base model was probably about $4,000 to $5,000, I think.
How much was a base model Modern Varmint or Modern Sporter?
The Varmint, well, the one they gave me was about $5,000, and it was pretty much a base model.
Wow, that's so expensive. Jeez.
But they were really, so really good. It was so good, so accurate.
I got 22s worth more than that.
Voila, tida.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
But the interesting...
Poisoned by market value.
Yeah. Like the interesting thing... Sorry, go ahead, Adrian.
Go ahead. So Matrix Aerospace, those 308s, which is an AR-10 by any other name, they were in country for $1,800. The full rifle. Full rifle. Deal.
Yeah.
Non-restricted.
They were DPMS pattern.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle, you're saying something?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, because there was a comment about building the Hunter and... Now, the Hunter and the Varmint couldn't be 100% built because the mating of the trigger to the safety, the safety bar on the trigger had to be machined for that that to work. And when they did the Modern Sporter, they corrected that. That's why they just started doing the receiver sets. But yeah, the Modern Varmint, Modern Hunter, you had to have them build it because of, and that was the main part, was because... Like, I had to give him a Timney trigger to machine and fit up into the gun.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think end of the day, 2 years from now, probably be an AR-10. Or I'll have no guns because I'll be selling everything so that I can move. So.
Go somewhere.
That's the land of milk and honey. From previous slam fire experience, that's a safer bet. And probably a better bet. Just so you know. Look at him now.
Yeah, he seems much happier. How's that freedom taste?
Can't just all keep running to the U.S. We got to make things better here.
My problem with here is that there's always going to be a baseline of we will always be on our back foot here. Always. You start on your back foot here.
Yeah, but wasn't that Dan from Caliber? He said in a couple of years we're going to be seeing concealed carry, and Dan is pretty accurate on things.
I would love him to be right.
Because I almost hate the fact he's almost always right.
I would love for him to be right, but I don't think he's.
No, I've had access to enough folks that are like further down that rabbit hole than I am, and all of them tell me I'm crazy, which is why, because that'd be perfect. If we get concealed carry here, we get all the things that we want. Fine, I'll stay. But I don't think that's a world that we're probably going to have, even with a conservative majority for 4 years. That'd get shut down the second another government came.
I heard some rumblings about suppressors at TACOM that were kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
they're more on people's radar than people may think.
That's an easier sell than concealed carry.
It's hard to argue against it when all of the countries with the greatest gun restrictions in the world all have suppressors available to the public. You can't. It's
all you got to sell it is we're bringing in European style gun laws. That's all you have to frame it. You don't have to say which European country. You know, Estonia. I'm a big fan of their stuff. Italy, also great.
Czech Republic.
You don't have to say which European country. All they say is Canada introduces European style gun laws. It'll sell on CBC. That's all you have to do.
But are they going to air it? That's the problem.
Yeah, they will, because they're like, oh, look, they're adding new gun laws. It's European style, because we all know they don't have a gun person that's able to consult on such issues.
Yeah. Not a good one.
Nope. Not a good one. I can be bought.
Yeah, so can I.
Cool. Anything else you saw at TACOM that's worth mentioning?
No, those are the big ones. Oh, Paris Designs, they make some really nice plate gears, and I seen some of their shotgun cards. Very robust. Really good. Like, there's like the, you buy them on Amazon, just like the loop with the cheap piece of elastic on them. These are more what I'd call duty rated. And their plate carriers were really nicely put together. They're made in Windsor, I believe. They're not crazy expensive. Like, for 200 and some bucks, you get a high quality plate carrier.
Okay.
I was a big fan of those.
Neat. Cool.
All right. Moving on to listener feedback. Live interaction. We have a few. Sporting Rifle mentioning that TACOM overall is pretty small, which Mike did confirm, but Mike didn't agree on the disappointment part.
Like, if you walked around and didn't actually, like, oh, that's there, that's there, that's... But if you actually went into the booths and talked to people, you're going to be there for an hour. It was... The quality of things there, while the quantity was down, the quality of things to look at was up.
And how were people's spirits? People's spirits feeling high these days?
People probably were seeming pretty optimistic. Because this is the all Eastern crowd, which I thought wouldn't be as interested in firearms, but they were very interested in firearms.
That's good.
Cool.
Derek has a few comments on here. One of them, he said, simply don't take the K9 apart. I haven't tested that. I'm guessing it wouldn't run very well. My ritual is take it apart, clean the bolt, clean the chamber, basically every time I went to a match and back. So every 300 rounds, the gun gets a cleaning. And I don't think we have an email this week, unfortunately, because I'm on the show. And YouTube comments, we have a few. Eddie, 7 days ago, mentioned that, I think we might have read this, but...
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, technically it should be Live 45 Cold Ammo. We have Three Gun Tank. I always read it as Three Gun Talk. If you can bring spare guns to majors, I shot Generation 3 Gun this weekend and had a spring break in my buffer tube. I bring spare parts, but not those parts. Luckily, I had a spare rifle with me. I hadn't taken it apart yet to determine the exact issue, but it's definitely in the buffer tube. A friend's firing group broke on his SIG as well. He had a spare pistol also, so that's good. Well, considering it's very difficult to acquire a pistol in Canada right now, how do you have a spare pistol? I'm not too sure.
He bought before the ban.
That's not me.
Should have bought a crap ton of polymer radios.
Yeah.
That sucks, but yeah. Buffer spring is definitely in my kit every time. I can't say I've actually seen one break, so
I haven't either. I don't carry a spare one.
Maybe for a PCC it'll be different, but I don't think he was shooting a PCC.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, three more comments from Eddie. Kyle's patch panel. This is where watching the podcast helps was understanding the topic of discussion. I originally thought Kyle was now routing telephone calls the old school way.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
You'd have to call the operator and connect to here.
Yeah, fair.
Was the operator's name Mavis? Or Mabel?
They'd listen to your conversation.
Yeah.
The party line.
I didn't have that experience. Eddie also mentioned, rest in peace, Paul. Yeah, we covered that part. And last comment, if the NDP want to become official opposition again, they will have to beat the Liberals and Bloc. That would be a tough feat considering their weak leader. Yeah.
The Bloc are very, very poised to become the official opposition, which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. I kind of want it to happen just for the memes.
But does that drive us back no, no, to it's 1997
okay.
again?
Well, it's okay, because then like everybody can just flip off Quebec for like four years.
This time, we'll just let them go.
Yeah.
I don't know if
let
that's
them
a
go
choice
in the first place.
No, make, hold on.
Right?
Let them go, then annex them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just speak our language.
Military invasion.
Well, then it sets the precedent. Okay, Quebec's gone, now Alberta can go. And
they're like, you go, okay, fine, Alberta goes, you go try to annex Alberta. Let us know how that goes out for you.
It's going to become like the Western Canada Alliance of sorts.
Like it would be like the
Saskatchewan, just the whole block, whole square.
Just the prairies.
Yeah.
Vancouver's not interested in doing anything with Alberta.
No. Of course not.
But anything, you know, past Hope, you got a good chance of being a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook comments. I don't think we have any. Discord. I've been posting some stuff on it regarding my vacation. What people have bought was a Brownells link. I thought we were supposed to do it last week. Did that happen?
Let's do one next week.
Random.
See, this is what happens. Like, this is becoming like a quarterly check now.
That's okay.
If you would like to email the show, so Tony don't have to do his old job, send them to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And we would like to give our thanks to first Mike for bringing us TACOM content, and then our supporters and patrons on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on Player and Patreon. Shout outs. Let's go with Mike first.
Okay, so I'm going to shout out Grant. He is the importer for Fort Scott Munitions. Everyone needs to go check out that round. Basically, it's a monolithic bullet that tumbles once it hits a liquid. It is some really cool stuff, and he's going to be bringing those into Canada now. So that's another option for hunting.
Does it expand? And
wild.
No, it's a solid project. It's a solid spun copper projectile.
Illegal in Alberta?
No.
Was it not? I saw you have to expand.
No, it's a monolithic bullet.
Maybe I need to check up on my hunting regs again.
Yeah.
Kyle, what about you? Oh, Mike is done. Sorry.
Oops. Oh, I also got a shout out JR at Sterling because he is putting out some wonderful stuff. I'm going to thank everyone at TACOM that was willing to talk to us and give an interview. I'm going to shout out Adam Rod because I see him in the comments there. We hung out with him all weekend. It was a great time. I had a wonderful time. And I think that was it. That's all I got.
Awesome. We'll go to Kyle next. Sorry about that.
I have no shout outs this week.
How about Dustin?
Yeah, shout out to my buddy Rev. This is nice having you up to taste some freedom in Canada.
That's a weird thing to say.
I know,
right? Don't sound right.
And yeah, to my other awesome guests too, for whom I will send this video link, and they will not watch it.
And Adriel.
Yeah, to the Chaz 3-Gun crew, like, great job on putting together the match, getting the sponsors, running it. Yep, it was fantastic.
Okay, I have a few shout outs. I would like to give a shout out. I don't know if it will ever reach him. There's a gentleman in the lineup when I was waiting for my last plane change in Thunder Bay, and there was a box, long box, as we know what it is. And he is apparently going on a moose hunt in Yukon. So good luck on that. That'll be awesome. There was an older gentleman who was chatting more with him, but I got to talk to him as well. And a recommendation, there is more Thompson Center news on YouTube, and their YouTube channel has published on how the investment casting process looked like. So that's pretty cool. Means they're gearing up to re-release some of their old new guns. That'll be interesting to see.
Cool.
All right. Join our Discord server. Watch us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR. And we will see you next week.
Later, everyone.
See you next week.
Good night, Kelly.
Bye.
Bye.
It's if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.